Thanks for tuning in to the Lean 911 podcast, where you'll have a voice directly from the Gemba. I will rely on my three decades of Lean successes, as well as my failures, to answer your most challenging questions regarding your Lean transformation. I'm your host, Mark DeLuzio, President and CEO of Lean Horizons Consulting, and the principal architect of the Danaher Business System. Looking forward to your questions. Now, let's go to the Gemba. Hi, Mark DeLuzio, episode 48. I'm calling this one Death by Lean Audit. Death by Lean Audits. How many people out there practice auditing your operations for lean conformance? How many people actually spend time on that, whether you're the auditor or the auditee? I think you'll probably agree with me, and if you're not there now, you will, that my summation is that lean audits are a waste of time and actually counterproductive to an effective lean transformation. Okay, so I'm saying this because when I architected the Danaher Business System, I actually developed a series of lean audits. At the time, I thought it was the right thing to do. All with good intentions, all with great intentions, as a matter of fact. Matter of fact, the one thing I never did was, you know, create a hierarchy of who's the best versus who's the worst. I never publicized that. I would fill out the audit myself personally when I would walk into a facility. They would do the same, and we'd sit down in a conference room and compare notes. Hey, you gave yourself a 5 out of 5. I gave you a 2. How come? Let's have the discussion. That was more important than the number. Numbers are just kind of a guide to tell us that we're not in agreement, okay? Let me tell you why I put you down for a 2 on standard work. Let me tell you why, you know, or why did you put yourself down as a 4 or a 5, okay? So have that dialogue to me was more important. That's kind of how we use it. And then my audit stayed with the company, with the division. I never took it back and did anything with it. So maybe that's a good way to do an audit, but I would argue that audits are still ill thought through. Now let's stand back for a minute and understand what's the purpose of a lean organization. You've got a bunch of people headed up by some director or vice president, like I was. I was a corporate vice president, corporate officer, working directly for George Sherman, our CEO, God rest his soul, and eventually Larry Culp. And what was our purpose? Our purpose was to develop capabilities within the organization, throughout the organization. And those capabilities were key to Danaher's success. Our job was not to go in and do projects for people or go in and into a tough area to say, let's go fix that, as opposed to teaching people how to solve the issue altogether. Now, I'm not saying we didn't do that from time to time, okay? But the overarching purpose for us was to treat everybody within Danaher as our customer, and we were a supplier, and we had to build trust. And I think overall, we did a pretty good job with that. There were some companies that just didn't trust us at all because we were corporate. Could have been a personal thing, I don't know. But overall, we got our phone was always ringing for help, right? To teach people how to fish, not to fish for them. But since I mentioned that the operating units were our customers, did you ever see a supplier audit their customer? Why don't you try that? Why don't you go down to one of your major customers and walk in one day and say, Mr. Customer, we're here to audit you. We have a list of criteria to see if you're measuring up. Okay. You know you're not going to do that. So how can anybody running a lean office claim that the people they're supposedly serving are their customers? You can't have it both ways. You see what I'm saying? So those are the departments that sit there and their phone never rings because nobody wants them in. they're not helpful. They're not leaving something behind for that company to flourish. They're not addressing their needs. So let's talk about the ill effects. Now, by the way, one of the reasons I think audits exist to begin with, okay, is many lean organizations within companies don't know what to do. They may have been really good at Kaizens, at point Kaizens. I'm going to have an episode on this in the future about you cannot transform your company simply with point Kaizens, although I am a big fan of point Kaizens, okay? But you need a more strategic approach. But many people don't know what to do, so they have to show their boss that they're providing value. And they have to show that, hey, we're moving the overall corporate lean index from a 3.8 to a 4.2, and we're making progress, and blah, 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 right? Otherwise, how could they justify themselves? Now, I tell people this story, and they never believe me when I tell them. Our CEO, George Sherman, who I believe was one of the greatest CEOs I ever met, never asked me in 9 years, he never asked me, Mark, how much money did the Danaher Business System office save? What's your return on investment? He never, ever asked me those questions. He did hold me accountable for other things, but not that, because he knew the operating units were responsible for performance. Okay. So why do we have these? We have to show our boss our value. We have to show our boss that we are doing something, because our phone's not ringing, by the way, simply because nobody wants us in. If I'm auditing you all the time, I'm going to come in and report back to corporate where all of your black eyes are in your company. Why would anybody in their right mind want somebody from corporate in? You know, the old adage, I'm from corporate and I'm here to help, right? There's some truth to these slogans that you hear. But let's talk about the ill effects. One, there becomes an incredible, and this might be the most important one, but an incredible lack of trust. When you have somebody coming in with a clipboard auditing you, people are guarded. They're not going to be open to you with their problems and their issues. They're not going to ask you to help. And the whole trust issue goes right down the tubes, number one. Then a lot of companies put these divisions, if you will, on some kind of hierarchy, some kind of priority list, and they rate them from best to worst. Well, one of the problems with that list is there's always going to be somebody at the bottom. Always. Okay. That's not helpful. To shame companies is not helpful. The other problem is most of these audits focus on tools. It's kind of like me coming into your home builder, and I'm auditing them on how well they can use a hammer, how well they can use a saw, and all the other things, a nail gun, whatever it is, right? And I'm sure that they'll all score in the very high percentile on the use of all those tools. But what happens when the roof leaks? The way that tool was used was perfectly appropriate, 100%. But the roof leaked. Just because you know how to use the tools doesn't mean you know how to build a house. And when we're doing a lean transformation, that's what that's all about. Most audits, almost all audits, miss that. And they go in on how well are you doing SMED? How well are you doing standard work? How well are you doing Kanban? Okay. And they'll rate you on some criteria. I know. I set up the criteria. I know what the criteria are. But what good is it if I'm going out of business, if my lead times are too long, if I'm not doing enough changeovers? Okay. So what happens is when you knock on the door and say, by the way, Tuesday we're coming in with our audit, the teams now have to prepare. You know damn well they do. They start sweeping the floors. They start straightening things out. They start doing all kinds of things because you're coming in, and the team now loses focus on what they should be focused on, which is their customer. They don't perform and you're taking their focus off, but they don't perform to customer requirements no longer because they're you know, they're, especially if it's tied to the compensation, their focus now is getting a good score from you. All right. And most people who are doing audits may not even know what to look for when it comes to this. Okay. So loss of focus. Again, I'm from corporate. I'm here to help. The other thing an audit does is it doesn't, it forces your auditee to focus on things that don't matter to them. What I mentioned SMED. What if a single minute exchange to die is not critical to a particular business? But you got to score on it. You still got to show something in that regard. Now I got to figure out how am I going to show this auditor I'm good at SMED, because it is one of the items on the audit list that's going to go into my total score. That's going to get on a list that's going to go to corporate. That's going to rank my company amongst all the others. You see how that works? Foolish. We're focused on the wrong things. All right. And again, how much window dressing is involved here, and how does this really tie to business performance? There was a client of mine. They had the levels called gold, silver, what was it? Yeah, gold, silver, and bronze, just like the Olympics. Okay. Mark, we want you to go into our company that just barely made the bronze level. And we also want you to go to another facility that's the gold, made the gold level. I'll be honest with you, I saw very little difference between the two companies. As a matter of fact, one of the companies, the company that made the gold, I could not get away from the guy that was telling me how well they're executing MRP, scheduling, and procurement. I mean, they were world class, in his opinion, on MRP. And these people received a gold rating. They weren't doing pull manufacturing. They were still issuing discrete work orders and scheduling operations without any consideration for connecting the operations so that you can at least pull, hopefully flow, but at least pull your product through the shop. They had inventory everywhere. The inventory turns were about 2 a year, which means they have about 6 months worth of inventory. But they rated a gold. They were gold. So the you know, what benchmark are you comparing people against? Each other? Or are you comparing, you know, yourself to world-class standards? It's hard to say. But somehow they amassed a gold rating. Matter of fact, this one company that was gold had a rework department with 21 people in it. At the request of the customer, because the quality was so bad, they wanted, the customer said, I want you to set up a rework department. Sorry, it wasn't rework, it was reinspection. Well, I guess it is rework. Reinspection. They were packing parts into a little plastic bag. In this reinspection area, they had to open up the bag and recount the parts and put them in another bag again. That's how ludicrous it was. Do I really need to tell you what was wrong with that picture? Okay. And they wanted to do standard work. I refused. They wanted me to put standard work into this rework area, or this reinspection area. And remember, anything that starts with an RE is waste. Reconcile, rework, reinspect, redo anything is waste. Okay, so be careful on the RE word. But they wanted me to put standardized work into, or teach them how to do that, into this reinspection area. And I said, absolutely not. I'm not going to teach you how to be really good and efficient. It's something you shouldn't be doing at all. Let's go back to the line where this quality issue resonated and attack that. And then we somehow have to then convince the customer through performance and also a lot of other things that we shouldn't have to do this inspection anymore. Okay, I call it inspection. Again, I it's inspection. And it was a rework operation because of their poor quality. But this company was a gold standard company in this particular corporation. It's a big multi-billion dollar company. Okay. And the scary part is this particular company made parts for that went on airplanes. Okay. So anyway, I'll leave it there. So I guess the question is, you know, if your lean office is auditing you, And if I was running a facility, I hate to say this, I just say, no, you're not welcome here. I'm not going to spend my time and pull my people off of your audit because you got to show your boss that you're doing something that's justifying your position. So I'll leave you with this one question. If the lean office in your company is truly your supplier, shouldn't you be auditing them? Food for thought. Thanks for listening. You could see I don't like lean audits. Like, it took me a lot of years to come to this conclusion, but that's where I am on this, okay? I have not seen any value. Yeah, I can say any value. But overwhelmingly, there's negative value in all the lean audits I've seen out there. And by the way, it's taking your lean people away from teaching other people how to fish. Would love to hear your thoughts on this. Maybe this needs to be a white paper. Maybe I'll get that into that process. But email me with your thoughts on this, mark@lean911.com. I would love to hear your thoughts. Or if you disagree, please let me know. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Till next time, this was episode 48. And we're talking about death by lean audit. Until next time, bye-bye. Thanks for listening to the Lean 911 podcast. I'll be happy to address your questions or feedback on future episodes. Email me at mark@lean911.com. You can check out our other episodes by visiting our website at lean911.com, our YouTube channel, wherever you listen to podcasts. This is your host, Mark DeLuzio. Thanks for listening.